This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Hello, everyone. It's Blake here. If you haven't heard yet, me and Eric are stranded in Austin, Texas. And I just want to give you guys a heads up. We recorded this on our telephones. We have our great host, Brandy Cyrus. The audio might be in and out throughout the podcast, but we are doing our best because we sure had a lot to say about this week in Bachelor Nation and this episode in general. So I hope you guys enjoy it. But it could be some bad audio. So please forgive us, but we're doing our best.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horstman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. It is Monday night, right after the show. We are recapping episode, 7 of The Bachelor. I'm your host, Blake Horstman. Here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And tonight's special guest, Brandy Cyrus. Thanks for coming on, Brandy.
It's not time you've had me on this podcast. That's all I have to say.
We wanted to get you on for a while, so I'm excited we finally got you. Thanks for being flexible, because me and Eric are currently stranded in Austin, Texas.
Honestly, I kind of feel like I'm right there with you with Nashville. I mean, I'm in an ice globe right now. Like, I haven't been able to leave my house for days, so I'm right there with you.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that bad there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is, yeah, it's been wild. Yeah, me and Eric are in our hotel. Yeah. Fourth hotel. Yeah, it's been interesting. Oh, but here we are. We're going to do this. We're going to try and recap this Bachelor. We've eaten grilled cheese and 7-Eleven food for the last 3 days. So, oh, man. But here we go. Here we are. Yeah.
And now we're coming to you live from the Fairmont, Austin.
Yeah. From the Fairmont, Austin. Oh, God. But here we go. Well, first of all, Brandy, what do you think of this season? Because we haven't really chatted a ton about what you think thus far about Matt James as a Bachelor and just the season in general.
You know what? I've really enjoyed the season so far. I love Matt. I think it's been such a much needed fresh take on the show to have somebody on that wasn't from a previous cast. I don't know. Like, I really enjoyed that about Matt, that he's not, you know, for lack of a better term, like, jaded from his experience on our previous season. So I like that about it. And I also, I've been really impressed with this cast of girls, just as far as, like, there's a lot of them that I really like. Granted, this season of girls has come with, like, a lot of drama and a lot of, like, mean girl shit that I don't love. That's, like, one bad thing I would say about this cast of women. But overall, I also think there's a lot of, like, really solid personalities in the group. And, you know, from day one, I was, oh, Matt's got so many great to choose from. Like, this is going to be a really good season.
Yeah. I think you said it great when you said, like, Matt's not jaded, because I completely agree. I think Matt kind of went into this just fresh faced and doe eyed. And I think it's great. And it shows, I think, the way he kind of not only treats the women, but I think the way he just approaches the process in general. Like, I think he's just very, like, open to it, which is, you're right. Like, it's promising to see, because I think a lot of people do get jaded after coming off, whether it be the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, you know? So I get that. And I agree there. And then agreed, as far as, like, the women, unfortunately, I think what happens, because I've seen, you know, people out there complaining about the girls this season, and I get it. It's been pretty brutal as far as the mean girl things that have happened. But I also think, like, for some reason, and it's just like this every season, but a lot of times the women who cause drama and can be mean, they get a lot of screen time. And a lot of the good women get kind of pushed aside and they don't get as much screen time. And unfortunately, I think that's happened a lot this season. You know, I think there's some real gems in this, you know, in this season, but we just haven't seen a lot of them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. And again, of course, we'll get started right off the bat with Heather, because again, the claws came out. The whole episode starts. Well, the last episode ended basically with Heather walking in, kind of surprising Matt. And basically, that's how this episode starts. And I think Matt handles, what do you think about the way Matt handled the situation, Brandy? Because he kind of, like, laughed about it. Like, you can tell there was, like, pain in his laugh a little bit. Like, here we go again. Like, the producer's throwing another curveball at me. So how do you think Matt kind of handled Heather coming in?
I mean, Matt definitely, his reaction to Heather was very unfiltered, for better or worse.
Yes,
you know, that just is what it was. And I were Piper sitting there, and the guy I had been dating for the past several weeks, in, you know, another walk, he had that big of a reaction to another woman. hurt me. And mm-hmm. I think Piper had every right to feel like she did about Hedda just barging in, a complete stranger that she didn't know. I mean, that is a very just unsettling thing. Part of me wishes Matt had been like, oh my gosh, okay, let me just finish my conversation with Piper and then I would love to talk to you, Heather. You know what I mean? Like, maybe in hindsight, he could even probably see how that would maybe been the right move. But at the end of the day, it's like he was seemed just as shocked as everyone else to see her. And mm-hmm. again, you know, this is kind of the con side to not being on a previous season is you don't really know how to handle situations like this. So I don't think he consciously, you know, was doing things he didn't know how to handle either. Heather's a familiar face and he doesn't really know why she's there. And so of course to him, you know, okay, well, yeah, so I'm so sorry, Piper, but you know, I'm going to talk to her. So I don't know. I don't think he handled it badly, but I also kind of think he could have handled it better.
Agreed. I think the way you said where it looked very like genuine, like he genuinely didn't know what to do. What to think? Yeah. He just kind of like giggled through it. Like it's like pain on the outside, you know, laugh on the outside. Like
that's kind of what we've been doing the last 4 days.
Just laugh it
just
off.
Like, oh shit, what's next?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what it seemed like from him. So interesting to hear you think that like Piper didn't overreact. I don't necessarily know. I think Piper might have overreacted in my opinion, just because
she did come out of that room super heated.
Which that I get maybe right off the bat being heated that she took time. But then when they all sat down and it seemed like they all ganged up on her there for a little while mm-hmm. and it seemed like Piper might have been like the, I don't know, the like ringleader of that.
With the bachelor jumping comments and
The bachelor hopping or whatever. But I will say watching that, and I wish I didn't do my bachelor reaction that I usually do tonight, like my bachelor live reactions, but there were like three or four voiceovers that I heard in that whole conversation of them tearing into Heather that were clearly said in ITMs and they voiced them. Like they were still said about Heather, but they voiced them over 100% voiced them over to make it sound like in that conversation they happened. But I still think the girls were really, really bad to Heather. Like she was genuinely like, I think she was like, sorry. Like I could tell like she was sorry. Yeah. You know, she's like, I didn't mean to come in here and like interrupt anything, but I had to do it. Like I would have, you know, asked myself what if for the rest of my life. But it was pretty brutal watching Heather basically bullied to tears is basically what happened.
I know. Yeah. Whether it was right or wrong for her to come in late in the game, that would be really scary for her. Right? Yeah. Like, you have no idea while you're walking. Like, you don't, who knows if she even knew how many women were left or exactly what point of the process she was walking in on. Like, she might not have known any of that.
Knowing
like,
producers.
Yeah, they could have not told her like anything, and she just been going blindly, and that is scary. And so it's like, what can you expect from her? Just to go in and start like immediately getting the girls? That's not really why she's there. And so again, it's like it's just I think Heather did the best with what she had to work with, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. That's a great point. I didn't even think about like, I bet they hadn't. She had no idea what she was walking into. Literally, no idea what she was walking into, you know. And I think it was incredibly brave of her. Like that is something like brave and dumb. And usually honestly those go hand in hand. Like, you know, like, and it, from what Heather was saying, she basically made it sound like it was her idea. She contacted producers. She bought her own flight and then fucking did it all on her own. Like that's insane. Cause I thought it was a producer setup for sure.
Oh, for sure.
So here's kind of a question that I have. With Hannah, with her mentioning that, you know, Hannah B was talking her up and felt like there would be a good fit, why didn't she get them together before the show?
Great question.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the question of the hour, I feel, is why were they not introduced sooner before Matt went on the show?
Yeah.
I mean,
And it was Hannah B's fault. All of this is Hannah B's fault. Like,
yeah.
Why didn't she just, you know? I don't know.
All the quarantine to make that happen.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
She could have been a part of the quarantine crew.
Absolutely.
But then I also, like Heather even said it, or maybe Matt said it, like Hannah does know Matt really well. So like if she thinks, you know, Heather and Matt would make a good couple, Matt's like, well, damn, like maybe, you know, maybe that's a good point. Like maybe we would. So I think I see why Matt was kind of like, I think he was kind of like wondering what to do, you know?
Very conflicted, yeah.
I think he was conflicted.
If she would have came in with the second group of girls that came in the house, she probably would have went pretty far.
At least a couple, probably to that point, to be honest. It's probably the same point. I don't think she would have made it much further. But I've met Heather. Honestly, I met her at Stagecoach. She was a great woman, wonderful woman. Yeah, she was with everybody else at the freaking table at Neon Carnival. But I met her and she was, you know, she was the nice, she was probably, she was incredibly super sweet girl, you know? So her, like, you know, and like she was, crying the way she, you know, I could tell she felt was pretty hard. And the girls were really hard on her and it wasn't necessary. Like some of the things they were saying, like the bachelor hopping, I was like, damn. And like, I think Kit called her a bitch. Like, bitch, what are you doing here?
And
I was
they said, you missed on Colton. So you're trying this one now.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah. They went in on poor Heather.
They did. Mm-hmm. But props to Matt too, with how he handled her exit. Like, I thought he was honest with her, you know, and how he felt. And it was too late. Like, I believe it was too late in the process to come in and just join, you know, without them even like having any kind of connection. I mean, it was hometown. So it would be like, Heather, come in and then be like, meet her family next week. Like, no, you know? So totally. I'm glad Matt let her go, you know, especially I'm glad he let her go that night instead of the rose ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
He saved her a lot of headache.
Yeah. Absolutely. So he ends up sending Heather home and then we go into the rose ceremony. And I mean, Brandy, are you shocked with the girls he took to home, you know, or took, sorry, not to hometowns, but not to hometowns, but are you shocked that he sent
Chelsea and Serena C?
Yeah, Serena C and Kelsey home. Or Chelsea?
I'm not at all. I mean, I felt like they were like the low hanging fruit in the sense of who had the strongest connections, like, especially Serena C. Is that her? Serena C.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I haven't even seen them have conversations at all. And then Chelsea, like, you do have really great conversations with Chelsea. But for me, like, I just don't see the chemistry between them. So those were absolutely the two that I thought would go home.
I was surprised Serena C. lasted this long as is.
Yeah.
I don't even remember, like, I can't, like, vividly remember any conversations they even had, you know.
Yeah, she just kind of came on kind of talking shit after the original Mean Girls left.
So, and going after Katie.
She was the one going after Katie so hard.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They were the ones who got in that fight. That's right. Yeah.
A couple.
So I'm not shocked they went home. I think the girls left. I think of all the girls left, I think I could have maybe predicted most of the girls that were still here. Like, I think he has decent connections with all of them. But getting into that, let's talk about Serena P getting the next one-on-one. Well, the first one-on-one going into hometowns. I was shook. I thought Abigail would for sure get that one-on-one. For Serena to get her second one-on-one before Abigail gets her first is insane to me. Shook.
I know. I agree with you. Yeah. I was completely shocked.
Yeah.
Completely shocked.
I thought Abigail, I mean, to have the first impression rose and then completely fall off is just, I don't know. There must not have been any chemistry after that, you know? I mean, but that's the thing. I feel like they've had chemistry in like their other
conversations. I think they did, but she never like really tried to pursue him ever throughout this whole show.
No, so, she really just kind of sat back and was waiting for it to happen, I think.
She was waiting for that tug of the ear.
In like the real world, like, of course, that's a dream, right? The guy's going to pursue you and whatever. But in the Bachelor world, like on TV, like you just don't have time for that. Like the girls that go after what they want are the ones that get what they want. You know, you kind of can't sit back in this environment and expect it to just happen to you.
Yeah, you got to earn that attention. You got to get it.
I was just going to, the environment's good. I don't think this environment's made for Abigail. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she's too sweet, too nice, too, you know, kind of like, you come to me or like, not enough. Like, I don't know the word. She's not going to like push the other women out of the way and run to Matt. You know, I just don't think this environment's great for her. And I do want to say, there were moments this episode where I related to Abigail a little bit, because I remember on my season with Becca, I started getting my head a little bit because she did too. She did big time, I feel like. And I felt it at times when she was like, you know, like, I just don't know. He's having these other connections with these other girls. And I remember saying those exact words, you know, about Becca with the other guys. So like at times I could see her getting in her head. And that was something I did a lot on my season. So I felt for her because she's this really sweet girl. And I think she's got a bright future in this world though. I think she will see her in paradise and everything. Cool. Yeah.
Well, and she's just going to use her platform for tremendous things within her community.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited to watch her moving forward for sure. Even though we just skipped ahead because we're not even at that point yet. Yeah, but, right. Yeah, let's
talk about gonna miss Abigail. Love her.
But the Serena P date, because I have a lot of questions about her. Because, well, first of all, actually, I did this exact tantric yoga date in Paradise.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, with Caitlin. Yeah, with Caitlin Clemens. And it is a very weird, awkward date. It was especially weird for me and Caitlin because we had literally just met. Like, at least Serena and Matt have, like, known each other for a little while. Me and Serena are, like, sitting on each other. Me and Caitlin are, like, sitting on each other's laps and, like, breathing into each other. And it was super weird. But I kind of get why she didn't like the date portion of that date too much. Although I feel like she was really good at it. Like, some of those moves she was doing.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, you hate it?
She
looked like she knew what she was doing. Like, I've assumed she'd done yoga before, you know?
Yeah. Like, that one where she was on his feet and, like, in a pretzel. Like, I was like, what is happening right now?
She was full bent. Like,
I thought she was killing it.
But I liked that she was honest with Matt. Like Matt said, she wasn't bullshitting, like, you know, like just saying, I like everything that we do together. Like, she was like, no, that fucking sucks. Like, I was not into that, which I kind of liked. I respected that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did too. For me, like, her date, I didn't mind at all that she didn't like the date. And like you said, like, I actually think she was honest with him. But where I get hung up with her is that all of a sudden, like, her first one-on-one, like, I felt like she was, like, super into Matt, all in, like, very, very forward and very sure. And all of a sudden, now she's, like, taking a huge step back. And not like PDA. What? First date, you guys were all about the PDA. And all of a sudden, she's like, I kind of like you. But, like, we're at the point where it's, you should be head over heels. Like, you should be thinking about the L word already, and not just like, I kind of like you, you know what I mean? And so for me, after watching her date, I'm like, wait, what? How have you gone from so head over heels with Matt, like, your one-on-one was so great, to now that you've got second one-on-one, which is such a big deal, you're acting like it's not that big of a deal and you're not that pumped?
Is she the only one that's had a second one-on-one?
Yeah, to this
point, right? So. As well.
Yeah
Like, that says a lot for him to, like, do that. And then, you don't reciprocate that at all.
Yeah.
I actually didn't think she was going to get the rose. I didn't feel the chemistry. I didn't feel the chemistry. Yeah. And I'm not saying that she's, like, not a cool chick or anything. I just didn't see the chemistry between them, you know? So I was shocked. I was shocked that he gave her the rose. I really was. And she's going to hometowns. Like, you're right. You should know. Like, I think at come hometowns, like, you should know. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So,
it's about to skip. I'm skipping ahead a little bit, which is right. But it's, like, exactly like what Kit did. Like, just.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I do want to talk about that.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Kit. I'm sure you have some thoughts.
Yeah, I got some thoughts about that a lot, too. But, so Serena ends up showing. We're going to meet Serena's, like, you know, parents, which I, you know, hometown. And I'm kind of shocked by that. But then, I don't know. Of all the girls left, though, I'm like, no, there were some girls. Like, I could have seen Abigail, I guess, in that, you know, in that position instead of Serena. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Well, I'm skipping ahead, but once you get to the episode or whatever, you see who else he cuts. Like, for me, I was so devastated to see Piper get cut after hearing how Serena stands. Cause I'm like, man, Piper should have had that spot. Like, Serena
into him
should have been booted. Piper was very sure. He's very into Matt. And she's and Serena's not.
Yeah.
Piper and Matt have had tremendous chemistry throughout the whole show.
Yeah. Interesting to see Serena, you know, we're going to hometown Serena. You're right. I think Matt must be into her because for her to get the first person to get the second one-on-one and now give her the rose in the one-on-one and go to. So it'd be interesting to see how, I mean, she might make fantasy suites at this point. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, she must be. He's in there.
She didn't like the tantra day. She's not going to like fantasy suites.
Hey-o.
Hey.
Oh, man. But yes, I want to get into this group date and kind of talk about Kit a little bit, but we're going to do that right after this. All right, so let's get into the group date. So they're reading the card for the names of the group date, and Abigail gets called. And again, I'm shocked. Like, I thought for sure she was going to get that last one-on-one before hometowns. But she doesn't. Mm-hmm. And again, she kind of talks about how she's getting in her head a little bit, which I can relate to. And we go into the group date. What did they do during the day on the group date? Why can't I think of what they did?
They didn't even show anything. I don't think they showed a day portion. It just went to the after party, kind of.
Did you just go to the cocktail party?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they must have, because I don't remember.
Yeah, it's been a few days since I watched it. So I can't really remember.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I just watched it and I don't remember. So
yeah,
yeah. I think they literally
just jumped into the night portion.
The cocktail hour. Yeah. So we go to the cocktail hour and let's talk about Abigail and Matt's kind of conversation, because do you feel like Abigail got any closure during that, Brandy? Do you think Matt was like making like, do you remember that conversation?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know if I did. I didn't feel like he gave her a good reason why he's sending her home.
No, definitely don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like, I feel he was kind of explaining like she gave him so much space in the show that it allowed him to make all the other connections with the other women. Because yeah. she never really pursued him.
Pursued him.
And, like, yeah. And you could view that as him in a nice way saying, hey, these other women really pursued me and I made connections. And, you know, she just didn't make a move, really.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of right back to what we were saying about her. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think in the real world, that's completely normal, you know, especially as like a woman to feel like it's a little old soul, but I'm old. So I want to pursue you. You know what I mean? That's a lot of women my age, like that's how you grow up. And that's what you think, you know, that's what you're taught supposed to happen. And the man's supposed to pursue you. And I think that she probably went into this with that mentality. But because it's The Bachelor and it's different, it's not reality, it's a different world, that just doesn't work on the show.
Yeah, agree. But again, I also look at it like, how is she supposed to, if she doesn't get a one-on-one, like she can't like, come in during a one-on-one and like come in and be like, hey, Matt, like take you on a one-on-one.
Like, you never even saw her really even like doing all the night portions, even stand up first to try to get his attention. Like she just kind of sat back and kind of just went with the flow.
Yeah, true. Maybe Matt wants, but I feel like Matt's been into the more reserved, quiet girl. Like, has Rachel?
Well, Rachel's kind of strong.
I don't think Michelle's been that kind of girl. Like, I think the girls who have been quieter, more reserved, shyer.
But I feel like Rachel and some of the other girls have been more opened up when they do get that one-on-one time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Abigail really. Well, I mean, Abigail did get extremely vulnerable, though.
Yeah, at times, yeah.
I don't know.
I just think there's just not the chemistry there he thought maybe they'd have at this point. Like, maybe they had such a strong start that he thought they'd be further along, and they're not. And so that makes him question things, maybe. But I was sad to see Abigail go. You know, sad to see Abigail go.
Very.
Yeah.
She's super excited to see her journey, though, after this.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens next with her, for sure. But I do respect the fact that Matt sent her home for the rose ceremony. I think that's him showing respect to Abigail. Yeah, which I think is really cool. Because you don't see that often, you know. So
absolutely.
I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and going back to this group date, you know, like Bree opened up quite a bit tonight, a little bit.
We finally saw Bree for the first time in a while, I feel like.
Yeah, in a while.
Yeah.
Her one-on-one was just so early in the show that we haven't really seen a lot of her since. And so for her to be this far, I think her name was the one called in the last rose ceremony. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, wait, Bree's still here? Because she just doesn't get a lot of screen time.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, she just kind of came, I don't know, I honestly forgot how cool she was and how pretty she was. Cause I remember she came on screen tonight at one point and I was like, who's that? I was like, oh, that's Bree. I forgot how pretty she is. Like, cause she's just been off screen for so long, you know? So,
yeah,
but I do think he's into her and they have a really good connection. Even in the, like, she makes, like I said, Serena P had a whole one-on-one with him and I didn't feel it. And then Bree has like a little conversation with him in the group, you know, cocktail hour, and I feel it with her. So you can tell with Matt, I don't think Matt's very good at hiding, or, you know, I feel like you can tell with Matt who, has a good connection and stuff, but
and even during this night portion too, like, you know, as Brandy was talking about Piper earlier, like Piper even said tonight again, like, that she was falling in love with him.
I know these girls are falling for Matt except for Serena. but the girls are falling, and then Rachel ends up getting that group date rose, which is a huge group date rose because you're going to hometowns, and she said that was when I knew, like, I knew Rachel's been into him, but when she got that rose, went into ITM, and she was like, I'm head over heels in love with this man.
Get on a knee right now.
I was like, oh,
yeah. I know.
like that was it for her. You know, that was the moment. Like we all have that moment in this experience. I think that was her, for her, that was the moment where she was like, this is it. I'm in this, you know? So,
and then of course, Matt again with the good old open eye kissing with Rachel. do you think Matt's is a good kisser? Or is that just a telltale sign? Like,
I gotta be honest, he's doing. I haven't been paying that close attention.
It's so awkward.
But I do remember earlier in the season, first kisses with some of the women that I was like, wow, he's really taking all of it. Like he's like a big dude. He's super tall, like big guy, like big hands, but his lips are just like massive.
Yeah.
But like, listen, big lips are great. I'm not hating at all. So I'm kind of into it.
What about those big eyes just staring at you though?
What's that?
Those big eyes just staring at you though.
It would be different. I feel like sometimes I'm like, I just think he's uncomfortable in front of cameras right now, which is, I get.
Fair.
Like nobody's, yeah. And nobody's like feels good about making out a camera, but he does, in my opinion, like sometimes like, yeah, I see him kiss and I cringe a little bit. But it's a weird environment. It's a weird environment. So I don't blame him.
I'm not sure I want anyone to like be watching me kiss on TV either. Like it's just such a weird thing.
Super weird. I hated watching myself kiss on television.
Yeah, I bet.
Super weird. Yeah, it's super weird to see yourself. And yeah, it's super weird. But yeah, I mean, the group date went well. Like, I think, Rachel and him clearly have a really good connection. And then sending Abigail home. So basically, we go into the next one-on-one.
Well, you still got Kit during this group date.
Oh, you're right, because that was actually right after the yeah, that's right.
So yeah,
I personally
Kit's initial conversation was insane on group date.
Yeah.
But I didn't see a connection between them.
Really. I mean, I think they had a fun time on their like cooking date. Like I'm sure they had fun with that. But yeah, I haven't really seen a deep connection with them. But to me, Kit having that first conversation with him on the group date where she's like, you know, I'm young, I want a career. We were cracking up though. She was like, you know, like I really want to wait and really reach my career goals before I had kids. Like 25. I'm not having kids till 25.
I do remember that.
Like, wait a second. That's 4 years away. Like your career goals are going to be done by 25. Are you insane? Like what?
I forgot about that. And she was like, I want a cheerleader. You remember? Yeah. She's like, I want a cheerleader, which is awesome. But she's clearly saying to Matt, like, listen, if you're ready to settle down and have kids, I ain't the one. You know, that's basically what she's saying.
Yeah. So a lot of that was hilarious, but I do think her having a conversation with him was like kind of her trying to get out a little bit, right? Like trying to give him a reason to send her home. Send me. And he did. And she's like, what? Now what do I do?
I'm glad you said that because that's exactly what I felt like. I felt like she was like, okay, I've been here long enough. I'm fucking out. And then Matt was like, no, I like you. You can stick around. She was like, ruh-roh. Like, what do I do now?
Yeah, she's like, shit, I was giving you the out there.
I was waiting and for so then her she, to, I was waiting she had for to her just, to give him Matt's line, like, oh, the timing's just not there.
Yeah.
And he
didn't. No, he was like, cool him down. What?
And then she was like, well, I'm going to go to his hotel room and just let him know I'm peace out.
Yeah, I got to go.
Because I'm surprised Matt didn't jump because maybe Matt wanted to take her to hometowns. Like maybe he was thinking like we're going to hometowns. But yeah, she went to his hotel room and was basically like, I'm not feeling it. And then he even gave her more validation.
I know.
She still was like, I'm going to stick to my guns and go home. Like
I know. I wonder, and this is like just complete speculation. Like, I wonder if he likes the idea of Kit. You know, like she's cool. She's into fashion. Lives in New York. Like, has an exciting life. Like, you have to wonder if it's maybe just the idea of her that he was really intrigued by.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, and a great point. But I don't know. What do you think is going through Kate's mind? Is Kate not into Matt? Like, do you think Kate was like, I've been here long enough, like, I'm into him, but I know I'm not going to see him, you know, I'm not going to engage to him. And so she's like, I got to get out of here before home.
Kit, you mean Kit?
You mean
Kit. What did I say? Kit, yeah.
Kate, yeah, you said Kate. I thought you said Kate. Katie.
Kit. Yeah, Kit. I mean, she's 21, you guys. Like, 21. Yeah, I know. Let me tell you what. When I was 21, I was so stupid. Like, what was I doing? I was in a one room with my brother Trace in Valencia, California, not knowing what the hell I was doing with my life. Like, 21 is so young. And I'm sure she was like, yeah, I'll go on TV, you know? Great for my career. Obviously, great for my brand. Like, go get it, girl. Of course, like, absolutely. She's right. I don't think she probably had no idea she would make it this far and be like this deep into a relationship, quote unquote, however deep they are. And she's, I think she just knew, okay, this is my time to go. Like, I can't go to home with this guy. Like, I'm 21. This is not happening. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. But in a sense then though, that makes me feel bad for Matt a little bit because I think there were some girls there who would have, or are more into Matt, and she maybe took a spot, you know? I mean, that's one way to look at it. Like, she took a spot from a girl who's really, you know, looking to settle down right now and who is into Matt, and she might have taken somebody from Matt, you know? That's one way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe she should have gone
I
out,
could
like,
see, though, I can see a perspective where, like, maybe she went into it thinking, like, I'm just going to go on TV for a little while. I'll probably get kicked off, whatever. Then you get so far in, and you're like, shit, actually, this guy's kind of cool. This is actually kind of fun, right? I'm actually enjoying hanging out with him. And then you get to hometowns and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I made it this far. And like, you kind of panic and you're like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
What is that?
I'm trying to send Blake a note.
Oh, no, I didn't see it. I literally was getting, what happened? What I missed?
Second break.
Oh, I didn't get a text.
I can't text. I'm on my phone.
Anyway, that'll be a good break here. We'll come back right after this. Yeah, so group date. Kit sends her cell phone, basically. So we have Kit and Abigail gone during that group date. So basically going in right now, there
we've lost five girls tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, like we're flying through girls right now. Tonight.
We're still ahead of ourselves. Jasenia has not even gone yet.
I know, but that's what I was about to get to. So Jasenia's one-on-one comes up next. And what do you guys think about Jasenia? Because the Jasenia and MJ thing, I was kind of on Jasenia's side. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Jasenia bullied Heather pretty damn bad. Like, I feel like Jasenia...
Which was kind of weird because she was in that position like a week or two ago.
Right, exactly. Coming and then the she house. Turns around. Yeah. And then she turns around and bullies Heather. So I don't know. I kind of turned me off a little bit with Jasenia, but I thought the date, like sometimes I think Matt's into her a lot. I thought the date went well.
Me too.
I don't know that. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of think that, yeah, the date went well. Yeah, it was fun. But it's so far, like it's too late. Like, I just think it's like Heather. It's like it's just too late that they've had this connection and she just got pushed, you know, aside because he made all these other connections and it's almost like a last ditch effort. Like, oh, they're the one on one. Like, so I have no what ifs, right? And I think if it had been like a situation where they had some insane chemistry, insane like. Some insane feeling like, oh my God, you're the one. Like, there is a chance that could have happened. And he probably was just giving himself that chance to feel that with her. I think at the end of the day, it was like, yeah, it's a nice date, but nothing like life changing and too late in the game. Gotta go.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't see it with him. Like, again, that's another one where I'm not shocked she didn't get the rose. I think she was shocked. Like, I think she was genuinely shocked.
Me too.
But I wasn't shocked that Jasenia didn't get the rose. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. She's, I mean, I'll be interested to see kind of what goes, you know, what happens with her moving forward. She goes to Paradise or not, because she, like you said, she was late coming into the game. And then the only screen time she really got, I feel like she was like fighting with a girl, you know? So it'll be interesting to see kind of, yeah, what happens next with her. But I agree. I think she just came in too late. Like, maybe if she was a, you know, a day oneer, maybe her and Matt had a better connection. But yeah, I just didn't see it with them. So not shocked that he sent her home.
Yeah, same.
It's still such a tease. Like when they pick up that damn rose from that table, like, and like you see their eyes, their eyes get like light up, and then they just, you just see the soul get ripped out of them.
I feel like Matt is probably more savage than any other lead I've seen. Like, I feel like he genuinely picks it up with like a smile
right
on
in their face.
He picks it up with a smile and then fucking destroys them and puts it back down. Like, he's
it's
more
insane.
Savage than any lead. Yeah,
I agree.
Like multiple times he's done it, you know? Mm-hmm. I know that's probably they have to, but just the way he does it, I'm like, damn, I really thought he was going to give it to her.
I know.
Yeah, he's a savage. But yeah, so at this point, we go into the rose ceremony next, and there's only one girl going to go home at the rose ceremony at this point. Yeah. And he ends up giving the final rose to Michelle, right? No, Michelle and Bree. Yeah, Michelle and Bree. It's wild to me that Michelle and him have, because again, you talked about Justenia coming in late. Michelle came in late too, yet I am so much more confident about their connection. Than I am.
Yeah.
Honestly, he has just as good a connection with Michelle as he does the other girls in the house, in my opinion. It's crazy.
I agree.
Yeah.
Of all the one-on-ones, like hers was the only one where I felt he had this automatic, like knowing, like this automatic. He was in. He said something that night about like, I don't want to scare you, but like you're everything I'm looking for. Like it's not that it's love at first sight, but like it's as close as you get, right? Like that was the reaction I kind of saw from both of them. I think she felt it too. And so I've been a little disappointed that we haven't seen her at all since then. Like she really hasn't had much screen time since that day, which is unfortunate because they did have a very strong connection. So
she got that one-on-one like the next day after she came into the house.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. So I'm not shocked she got a rose over Piper. I mean, I think their connection is stronger. Like I said before, I'm bummed that Serena got a rose and Piper didn't. Like that was the trade I would have done.
Agree. And Piper genuinely seemed, she was hurt. Like, I think she was into Matt. She was fully in. Like,
really liked Piper.
I did too, actually. I did too. But yeah, I'm not surprised Michelle got it. And then did you guys see, I know Eric kind of missed it, but Brandy, did you see the very end when the credits were rolling, like the bloopers with Michelle?
And of course, Blake would notice this.
Yes. Yes, I did. Like, we had
hilarious.
Like,
so funny.
Hilarious. Why don't we get to see that side of her? Like, I love that. Yeah,
exactly. But that explains why Matt's so into her, because that would have been a moment for me that, because she just like, so for if you guys didn't see it, basically it was the cheersing after the rose ceremony. And Michelle was like, you know, before I make this speech, I just want to make sure I look good for the cameras. And she dropped down and gave 10 pushups. And I was like, that would be a moment for me where she just completely alleviated any of the pressure, any of the weirdness. All the girls were laughing. Bree spit her champagne out onto Michelle's back. She was laughing so hard.
Like, that was amazing.
That would be a moment for me where I was like, this chick is fucking awesome. You know?
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
So there must be parts of Michelle that we're just not seeing, obviously. But that makes total sense because she seems hilarious.
I really like her a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. She seems great. So yeah, we got right now. We got the final four. We're into hometowns. And Eric, do you remember who we picked for our final four? Because I feel like I was way off. Because I had Bree.
I remember who I had. I originally had Rachel, Abigail, Sarah. I want to say I had Bree in there.
That's right, and Bree. Yeah, I think the only two I got were Rachel.
Those
and Bree.
Are five.
I don't think I had Serena or Michelle. Well, obviously didn't have Michelle in there, but were you pretty close, Brandy? Like, what did you?
Yeah, since day one, my prediction was Bree and Rachel.
Yeah,
and then once Michelle came out of the picture, I was like, oh, she's totally changed up the game. So those three have always kind of been who I think make the bottom three.
And before tonight, I thought it was going to be Rachel, Michelle, and Piper.
Yeah, Piper's definitely. I like Piper. Like you said, I think. She seems like an amazing woman, and we'll see her in paradise. We'll say that. We'll see her in paradise. I think for sure she's a beautiful woman, and clearly I think this process worked for her. So we'll see her again. I'm not too worried about that, but we're going into hometowns, and they showed the preview. Did you guys get the weird, like ominous feeling for that preview? Like there was like this little like piano in the background. Like it wasn't the normal, like excited thing for that. It was like ominous almost. Like it was kind of like
we were preparing for a funeral.
Yeah,
you know what? I don't freaking trust Bachelor teasers one freaking bit. They always make it seem like it's something it's not, especially hometowns. Like they always make it seem like the hometown, like that the dad's going to be like, you can't marry my daughter. They'll take like some sound bites from things, like one thing, and the hometown happens, and you're like, oh. At all how it looks like in the preview.
Yeah. Except it does look like somebody eats shit on the skydiving. Did you see that?
I did see that, which is very scary. The landing.
Yeah, that looks like bad. That looked really bad. Yeah. So I think that was Rachel too. So yeah, I'm interested to watch that. But yeah, it's interesting going into hometowns like with that weird. You're right. The preview could mean absolutely nothing. We've been teased. You know, we've been fooled a thousand times with these producers.
So many times.
So many times. But yeah, we'll see. I guess going in because I think Matt's got a pretty good connection with a few of these women. I really, really do. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next. Well, yeah, awesome. So we got some questions for you. Eric, why don't you start with a couple questions? You got some questions?
Yeah. This seems to be kind of like a new favorite for everybody here. One thing you most hate about Blake and one thing you most love about Blake.
Asking this, or is this your questionnaire?
No, this someone asked this again. We had this question like the last 2 weeks.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
This is for me to answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not me. I just asked myself the question.
Okay. So one of my most favorite things about Blake is every time I've ever been around Blake, it's just been like high energy, just the most fun. He makes the best of every situation. And I really appreciate that about you, Blake.
Thank you. Thank you. That's nice.
Least favorite thing about Blake is when he thinks my friends are hot and tries to go with my friends.
when would I ever do something like that?
Oh, I don't know, Blake. I don't know.
Well, could have two friends.
should I have a follow-up to that?
Just kidding. No. No. As I pour, if I could, I just start pouring wine. Oh, that was and well. Thank you, though. That was very sweet of you.
And obviously, you know, like you and I, we're both very close to the Bachelor Nation, but kind of outsiders of the world. What are your thoughts, kind of, on everything that's been going on of late here in Bachelor Nation?
I mean, listen, The Bachelor is like arguably one of the biggest shows on television, like, and it's, they do air it in other countries, but it is just a very like, it's as American as it gets, right? As far as like reality TV show,
as polarizing as it can get as well.
Yeah. Like Bachelor.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really like for the Bachelor franchise to expect to be like exempt from all of the conversations happening in our country right now is just not reality, right? Like, I think it's time that they step into this and own up to, you know, the things everybody else in the country is owning up to. Wells and I talked about it a little bit this morning, just the Chris Harrison thing. And we're both like, I'm shocked he even gave the interview. You know what I mean? And I feel like in previous seasons, I don't know, for this year, like, it seems like people are doing more press earlier. Like, usually they wait till the season is over to really do press. And for them to have let him go and do that interview, like, they just really missed the point, you know? Yeah. And that's unfortunate. And I mean, you know, I'm sure for especially people that have been a part of Bachelor Nation forever, I'm sure it's hard to see Chris step down. But at the end of the day, I think it was the right thing for him to do.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, me and Eric Avazi talks about it, you know, a lot. And I agree. I think that was, he had to, there was nothing he could do. And I think it was the right move in stepping aside. Now we'll see how long that, you know, indefinite quote unquote means. Yeah, I think he had to, and I think it was the right thing to do. So yeah, be interesting to see what happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And kind of on that topic, I got a question. I think this is a question kind of for both, all of us, maybe even, because like you said, we're all kind of like, you know, maybe a little more into the Bachelor world than everybody, but somebody asked, you know, in this world, are we rooting for the show like to reach demise? Like, I basically had somebody ask, you know, like, are we rooting for the show to like end? And I'll answer first, because I think that's a good question, because I think there are a lot of people out there who have been on the show or around the show, and like, we're very, you know, we can be very critical of the show at times. I know I've been very critical of the show. And like, I'll never be somebody who, like, I'll never be a yes man for this show. Like, I will always be honest with the show. I'll always be honest about what the show can do better, and what the show has done good in the past. Like, listen, this show needs to do a lot better in a lot of different, you know, categories, if you will. But at the same time, the show's done some incredible things for a lot of people too. Like, there are literal human, there's babies, there are human beings created because of this show. That's kind of crazy if you think about it, you know? So I think there's a lot of good and a lot of bad in the show, but in no way am I like, this show should end. Like, you know, like this should, like, I don't think that's the case. I just think they need to be open to constructive criticism and get better. And they've slowly, they're way behind, but I think they have taken steps, but I think they can take bigger steps and we have a long way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think this show has been on for so long and I understand from a production side that they feel like they have the formula, right? It's like, why fix what's broken? The show's number one. Like, but I would like to see the show evolve more. And mm-hmm. I think by doing things like casting, you know, a more diverse group is a right step in the right direction. I think casting a bachelor that wasn't on a previous season is a great step in the right direction. Like they're taking good steps, but they have to continue to be open to evolving with, you know, the times, for lack of a better word. And just to, I don't know, like how many seasons of a show can you watch? It's just the same over and over and over again. Like, you got to spice it up. Like, I don't want to see the show end, but I also don't want to watch the same thing every single season. Like, I want something different. And when they cast leads that are very unique and very like individual type people that stand out, aren't cookie cutter norm. Like, I really appreciate that. That's why Caitlin Bristow was such a great bachelorette. She mm-hmm. stood out. She was unique. Yeah. She's different. And
she was edgy.
Like, she is proof that people do want that and don't want mm-hmm. just a cookie cutter, you know, copy yeah. of a bachelor or bachelorette. So I hope to see more people like that being cast.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think that the way you put it too, real quick, Eric, before you answer, this might be the only show on television that has not really adapted to the times. Like, you are so right when you say they have found an equation. It's worked for the last 20 years and they are stuck to it. They're just like, hey, we're number one. Once we're not number one, we'll make changes. But if we're going to stay number one, why change anything? And I think they've done that. And I think this is the first, probably the last maybe 6 months, got a little slap in the face a little bit. And they're like, oh shit, we do need to change, you know? And I think they're trying, you know, hopefully it happens faster, but I think you're right. I think they just have found an equation and they've stuck to it.
Yeah. So, and it happens all across the entertainment industry. I've witnessed it happen in the music industry so much. When something's working, when a song works on radio, that's all radio wants. Is that same song in different versions, a cookie cutter version of the same song over and over. But like music has to evolve. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you have to take risks to find the next thing. It is very hard for music industry people to want to do that. So it's not just the TV industry. It's an entertainment industry problem to not want to evolve.
It's just like that saying. It's just like, I think they live by like, if it's not broken, don't fix it, but it's extremely broken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, shit, you could even bring that into the sports world. Like I know there's old school coaches who didn't change their offense for 30 years because it worked. You know what I mean? Like you could almost say that in everything. Like if it's not broke, don't fix. But like you said, Eric, it's
like, you just use a sports analogy and I'm very tied in with the like NFL world. And you look at like Tampa Bay, who just won the Super Bowl, they have the coaching staff with the most diversity with, people of color. They have women coaches on the staff and training staff coaches. Mm-hmm. And, from old to young, all the way up and down the ladder, like they cover every aspect. Mm-hmm. And, the show, like you guys, pretty much covered. It's like they definitely have to evolve with the times, do a better job casting and vetting these contestants, and also giving a lot more support for contestants, when they come off of the show, so they can be prepared to live when they go back into the real world. Because it's not easy when you destroy somebody's character and then lift others up. Like you need that support. Yeah.
It's a great point. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of things. Like, it's not just, the diversity and everything. They obviously have to work on that, but there's, I could put a list of things together they need to work on, whether it be mental health, whether it be all kinds of things. So, we'll see. It's a slap in the face. We'll just say that they all of a sudden they realize, I feel like they're putting a team together right now to be just like brainstorm of like things they can do. Well,
they're kind of going into some serious damage control right now.
Serious damage.
What's going on?
I mean, we might have a new host by this time next year. So that could be a huge change. So,
yeah. So. Or even for, Paradise and Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Season's coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
and listen, like, I've liked watching Chris Harrison in the past. It's not like I haven't liked watching him, but mm-hmm. I think I would really appreciate a fresh face and a fresh energy yeah. into the show. I mm-hmm. think that could be nice.
Yeah. It would just be a jump start.
Yeah. yeah. It'll be mm-hmm. interesting to see what they do yeah. moving forward for sure. Because, yeah, you see some huge changes. So we shall see. What else, Brandy? What else have you been up to? I have a lot of people in question in my DMs just being like, what is she up to? How's life? I feel like you're in an ice storm right now in Nashville, it sounds like, though.
I'm in an ice storm. I mean, you know, it's we're almost March here. So we're almost going on a year, right, of like the COVID era.
Yeah, we're about 2 weeks home. Away from that.
You know, it's my last year has looked a lot different than it did, ever did before. I've spent more time at home this year than I have since I was in high school.
Wow.
And that's crazy. And it's not something I probably would ever said I needed, but in hindsight, I think the year at home to just really like rest and recharge and get to do things just because they make me happy and not because I'm rushing from one thing to the next or on one plane to the next. Like, I think it's actually been really healing. But that being said, I did get to DJ a little bit in Tampa Super Bowl weekend and man, it felt freaking good to be back. Yeah. So, I'm really hoping that the entertainment industry can open up a little bit more this year and that we can have events safely so that I can get back to work because I do miss it. I've been very thankful for my podcast this year, which I'm sure you have to as well, Blake. It's such a great thing that we have. And I think during the pandemic, a lot of people felt very isolated and very, like unable to connect with people because a lot of us were alone. And a podcast, my podcasts are my favorite way to connect with people. Like Instagram doesn't cut it. You know what I mean? Facebook doesn't cut it, whatever. But like the podcast feels like a community. And it does, like, I feel like our listeners feel like we're all hanging out when they listen to us weekly. And I just love that so much. So to be able to maintain that connection this year with people has been great. To be able to still be able to work from home has been great. So I've really appreciated that. And I hope to be able to keep doing that more.
Yeah. No, it was good to see you DJing too. I went to one of your shows
Thanks.
In Tampa.
Yeah. On the yacht.
Yeah, on the yacht. You felt very Floridian. I felt like a real Floridian.
I know. It was fun, though.
No, it's cool. But I agree. Hopefully we all, hopefully you get back out there and we all keep back out there because I forgot how much I missed until I DJed this weekend down here in Austin. And I was like, damn, I forgot how, like, I got the pregame jitters. You know, you get those pregame jitters. I spent like 7 months. I was freaking out a little bit. But as soon as like the first couple times hit, I was like, oh, I missed this. So, yeah.
You're like, still got it. All right.
Yeah, still got it.
It's like riding a bike.
Still got it.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
It was fun. Well, I'm glad you came on tonight, Brandy. It was so good seeing you.
Thank you so much.
As usual.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Where can everybody find you? Instagram, all that fun stuff. Your podcast?
Yeah, I gotta plug those pods. My Instagram is just my name at Brandy Cyrus. It's Brandy with an I. That's definitely where I do most of my posting of content. And then I do have two podcasts. I have one with fellow Bachelor alumni Wells Adam, that you guys know and love from Bachelor in Paradise. He and I host a show called Your Favorite Thing. We've been doing it for a long time.
So like, great. I love that.
Years plus, like, so long. It's super fun. We just talk about our favorite things, books, movies, TV, we do Recap Bachelor every week that it's on. And then I also just started a new podcast with my mom about 6 months ago. It's called Sorry We're Stoned, because my mom's the biggest stoner I know.
So great.
And even though I don't smoke, we have fun with it. What's that?
Don't lie.
I don't smoke. You know what? I enjoy gum.
I know. I'm kidding. It's just super rare to even see Brandy have a drink.
Yeah. Oh, I've only seen you drunk like 3 times. I feel like.
Oh, don't remind me, Vegas.
But she's a blast. So drunk. She's a blast.
Yes.
I know. So anyway, you can listen to both podcasts anywhere you get podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, all of that. And then hopefully you see me DJing in a city near you very soon.
Absolutely. Yeah, guys, go check her out if she's near you. Trust me, it's a good show. So trust me, you won't regret it. So, well, thanks again, Brandy.
Thanks for having me, guys. Miss y'all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love you.
That'll be up first thing in the morning. So,
all right, see y'all.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.